You're listening to the First Baptist Rockdale Sunday Sermons Podcast. First Baptist Rockdale is a church dedicated to making disciples who make disciples. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Last week, I began a series walking through prayer for the church. And so we're doing 4 weeks in prayer, 4 weeks focused on how to pray, why prayer even matters. So last week we looked at why we would even spend time with our eyes closed, pouring out our hearts to God. Like what would we expect? What could we possibly expect to happen in that? And the answer is, well, you can expect a lot of things to happen in that because God is over all things. He's a gracious King who loves you and desires to meet you where you are. So we pray knowing the person we pray to can meet us exactly where we are. And today we're going to look at kind of how to have powerful, effectual prayer. I don't know about you, but sometimes I pray and I don't feel like I'm connecting well. I don't feel like I'm connecting well to what God is trying to do. And so we're gonna talk about how to have powerful, effective prayer. And the way we're going to find that is in John chapter 15. So if you have your Bibles, John chapter 15, you said, "Preacher, didn't you preach the whole last half of John already? Why are we doing this again?" We're just going to do one verse today, John chapter 15, verse 7. John 15 goes through the story of I am the true vine. Jesus is explaining the connection that we have to him throughout it. And he says these words to his disciples in verse 7 of John chapter 15. He says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." This is a crazy strong promise from the Lord. If you abide in God and God's words abide in us, we can ask whatever we wish and it will be done for us. When I read this, I always want to make like caveats. Be like, well, not that thing, like not this, not that, because it seems so overpowered as far as a promise in Scripture. So we're going to see what exactly John chapter 15 is trying to communicate, and then we're going to try to understand where it goes from there. The first thing that we need to recognize, this promise to abide, this command that we're supposed to abide in Christ, is not a new command that God has given through Jesus in John chapter 15. It's actually the exact same command that Jesus gave to the very first disciples that he called, right? Jesus sees Peter and Andrew and he says, "Come." And if you're a Christian here today, you've heard the call to come. Someone shared the gospel to you. They told you that there was a man sent from God who was God in the flesh, who died on the cross to make atonement for your sins. Your sins had separated you from God. God loves you enough to send his son so that you could be reconciled to God through Christ's death. Will you come to him? And we invite people right at the end of the service. We invite you to come down the altar. Come, right? This call to come seems unique, like, oh yeah, I've done this thing. And we celebrate it like we did with Emily, right? In the baptistries where we have this like public proclamation of what it means to come to Christ. But the call to abide is just come and stay, right? You weren't called to come to Jesus Christ and then depart from him and never connect with him at all. Rather, you were called to Christ to then abide in Christ. It just means to come and stay connected to Christ. But what happens for a lot of us, and I was reading the parable of the soils with my Sunday school class before we came up here today, a lot of us, we struggle with the cares and the desires of the world. We struggle with finding any roots to our faith. And so we may come with joy to Jesus and we feel the relief and we feel the weight that's taken off of us. It kind of stops there. And that might be your lone spiritual experience with Christ, was your moment of salvation where you came to Christ. But you're not called to just come. You're called to come and remain, to abide. And this call to abide means to stay connected to Jesus Christ day by day in everything that we do. And if you'll do this, if you'll just remain with Christ, You'll experience that joy that you experienced when the gospel became real to you for the first time in your life. When the very first time that it clicked into your head that, like, God died for me. When that happens, that joy can continue through your life. Christian life is supposed to be categorized by joy. Yes, there's sorrows. Yes, there's troubles. Yes, there are difficulties. But if you'll abide with Christ, you'll experience joy. The secret to powerful prayer is not abandoning Christ after your first coming to Him. You come to Christ and you abide with Him. Guys, that's going to look like you spending time with the Lord in prayer, which is kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy. As you pray to God, your prayers will be answered by God. That's a pretty neat little thing that happens there, right? It reinforces itself. But also through the time you spend inside of God's Word for yourself, right? We tell you, hey, you should read your Bible. I encourage you to read your Bible. Why? Because it helps you to hear the voice of God. Those are God's words for you today. You can abide with God by reading His Word. Also, what you're doing right now and what you did an hour before now when you were sitting in Sunday school classes is another way in which we get to abide with Christ. When we're surrounded by Spirit-filled believers, we're communicating with one another, we're being challenged in God's Word, right? That's a way for us to abide in Christ. Guys, it is a call to remain with the one who loved you first. I think about the church of Ephesus in the book of Revelations, and if you've read the beginning of Revelation, you have like these churches that have letters addressed to them. Most of the churches have a specific problem. Maybe there's false teaching in the church. Maybe there's rampant sin in the church. But there's some sort of problem inside of all but one of these churches. And the church of Ephesus' problem is that they have forsaken their first love. That the thing that brought them to salvation, that they loved so much, the gospel of Jesus Christ, became secondary in their lives. And so one thing that I do to remind myself of my first love is to go back to where I would be if Christ had never entered into my life. Right? And that's not a hard what-if game for me to play because I know who I am right now with Christ, and I know how far away I would be if Christ hadn't drawn me to Himself when I was 15 years old. Right? I wasn't on a path to, you know, like crazy drug use and being strung out on the corner, but I was going to be a self-absorbed person, fully focused on my desires and my wants and my needs. I was on that path of finding a way to make the most amount of money with the least amount of work, to please myself with the most amount of stuff that I could get. And then God called me out of that. And that cycle is never really satisfying, by the way. Some of you have lived that cycle. Some of you are still living that cycle, by the way, of the accumulation of stuff. Problem is, someone else always has more. And then when you get all the stuff in the world and you have it all, you find out it doesn't really satisfy the deep needs inside of your heart. The deep need is that you're known by the God of the universe who made you in His image. Guys, you've been called to come. Many of you have come to Christ. If you haven't come to Christ, today's a good day to come to Jesus Christ. But you need to abide with Him as well. You need to make that first love. You need to rekindle that. Some of you need to renew your wedding vows with Jesus Christ today. You need to go and say, look, Lord, I know what I did 35 years ago, but today I mean it just as much as I meant it then. I'm committed to You. I'll answer the questions in the baptistry that, yes, I want to make You the Lord of my life. Yes, I'm following You, and I'm going to do whatever it is You want because You are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins. We need to abide in Jesus Christ. You want to have powerful prayer. You want to have prayers that get answered. You want to see your friends and your loved ones come to Jesus Christ as you lift them up before the Lord. Those prayers are answered through abiding in Christ. The second thing we see is this picture of us being vines, right? And you wonder like what it is that you're supposed to even be asking for. What sort of prayers does God answer to the vines that are connected to Him, those who abide in Him? And the question can be answered pretty straightforward in that what is the one thing that vines wish to produce? Right? What is the purpose of the vine that's connected to the main vine, those branches that come off? What's the purpose of those branches? To bear fruit. The prayers that God looks to answer is prayers to bear fruit. Guys, we are vines, and our desire should be to bear fruit. So all we must do is ask. Like, I think the prayers that God is eager to answer, the prayers that God is seeking to answer for you today are less about your physical health, less about your marital difficulties. Not that God doesn't care about those things because they affect the big picture, but it's really about you bearing fruit in keeping with repentance. And as a Christian, what does a fruitful life look like? It looks like a life that is categorized by the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness, right? These are the things that Christians should be bearing in our lives. Are you joy-filled today? Is the desire of your heart to demonstrate the joy of God in the world that you are? Are you demonstrating patience today, right? They tell you not to pray for patience. It's one of the few things that people instruct you specifically not to pray for, right? Like, hey, don't pray for patience because God will give you a chance to practice it, right? Like, guys, you need it. I need it, right? Some of you have to deal with me. I need you to have it when you deal with me, right? We need patience. Love, this cardinal Christian virtue, should be coming out of us. This is the fruit that we should be praying for, not just for ourselves, but for those people who God has placed in our lives. And as the vine produces life to the branches and the branches produce fruit in keeping with whatever the vine is, we too, if we ask, will produce great fruit. Some of you have not had a very fruitful Christian life. If you were to die today and you were to go to heaven, God would be like, you have believed in Jesus Christ, enter in. And then when he would pass all of your works through the fire, as Corinthians tells us he'll do, all of our deeds will be passed through the fire, you will have nothing left at the end of it. There will be no works, no fruit in keeping with what God has called you to do. There's not going to be anyone in heaven who is there because of your testimony of faithfulness. There's not going to be anyone who's like, oh yes, Matt shared the gospel with me, or Matt was kind to me. You know, sometimes it's a long play to get someone to hear the gospel message, right? I go to Sefco gas station once a day to fill up about a 6-gallon cup of Dr. Pepper Zero. It probably is not good for my health, okay? But I go once a day, sometimes twice if things are bad, okay? We got a newborn baby. But don't judge. I see all the judgment out there. Y'all drink 2 pots of coffee and you're judging me. I feel it. Right? I'm playing a very long game with the workers at Sefco. I mean it. Like these ladies who work at Sefco, like for a long time, I was just like a random guy who came in and got a soda. Now they have like associated me with my position and my role. And now they'll begin to share what's going on in their life with me. Like, this is a very slow process, right? Happening at a 45-second checkout when I go into the store, right? Like, it is a slow, long process, but it's intentional. Right? It's an intentional process because like God has put them in my life. They're inside of my sphere of influence. And so my job, right, my prayer for them is that they would know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And if they do know him, as some of them do, that they would be fruitful in their lives and in their families. Right? These are the prayers that we have, right? And it's not all going to happen because of one occurrence. You're not necessarily going to share the gospel and everyone you share it with is going to come to faith. But if you're a vine, if you're a part of the vine, if you're abiding in Christ, your desire should be to bear fruit for him. Right? And if you're not going to bear fruit, if you read above the verse that we're reading today, you'll see what happens to the branches that don't bear fruit, right? They're pruned off and tossed into the fire. They're not helpful for what God is trying to accomplish. And so they don't remain with the vine. If you want to hear a longer teaching on John 15 and the whole passage there, you can look it up. I don't know, probably 2 months ago or 3 months ago, I preached this passage as a whole. But the important part for us is we're looking at powerful prayer, right? Is we need to know that our prayers need to be informed by what it is that God has called us to do, which is to bear fruit. So your prayer should have like a very spiritual focus in it. A lot of times our prayers have a very me focused in it. Lord, this is what I'm going through, right? I need this. I need this. The person I care about needs this and this. And I'm good lifting up, interceding on other people's behalf. I do this. If you're in my Sunday school class, you know I do this. If you're in my small group, you know I do this. If you've, ever taken a peek at my desk, you'll see a list of names that I pray for. Why? Because I believe in praying for other people. I think it's a powerful way for us to hold each other up in the Lord. But a big part of my prayer life is about God working on me to do the things that I should already be doing for his glory. Bearing fruit in keeping with repentance. And part of that is praying for the loss that God has laid on my heart. Are you desiring those things? Or are your desires for something else? A vine desires to bear fruit, so ask for those things. But if you're not desiring that, if you're not desiring to bear fruit, you can't expect God to be answering those prayers. And in fact, you probably don't truly abide in Jesus if your desires are different than his desires. Right? Our wants should be the same as his. Our desires should be the same as his. And then the amazing thing is, if you desire what God desires, and if the words of Christ dwell in you as you abide in Christ, the promise that he says at the end of verse 7, which is like, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you, is absolutely true. Like, all you have to do is ask why, because God grants our prayers. And this is a tough thing, because it almost turns God into a genie, right? Like, he's granting like wishes. But no, he grants our prayers when they're in accordance with his desires that we share with him. And so when you lift up God's work inside of this church, or when you lift up God's work inside of Texas Baptist missionaries who are serving across the state right now, or international missionaries, or your loved ones who are in other states who are following Jesus Christ, and when you ask God to bless those things, like, that's in accordance with what God's will is, and God answers those prayers, right? He says, ask whatever you wish, in keeping, right, with being a part of the vine and God's words filling you and you being connected to him, he grants those prayers. Church, God wants to answer your prayers. Sometimes we're really bad at knowing that God answers prayers. And so there's, at the end of this series, I'm going to give you all a tool that's going to help you. I probably should have given it to you at the front end. But I haven't finished making it, so you're going to get it at the end, okay? I'm going to give you a tool that's going to help you to inform your prayers. If you have your own method that you're using, if you have a fruitful way to pray already, toss what I give you away, okay? It's made by me. It is not supernaturally blessed, okay? But if you don't have a way, it's going to help you. And one of the things that's going to be in there is a way for you to keep record of what it is that you've been praying for and when God has answered those prayers. Right, because we just have short-term memory loss. I pray for, in my Sunday school class, I pray for probably 15 prayer requests a day, it feels like. I mean, my mind runs out of room sometimes to pray for these things. In my small group, I have to write them down because the list is longer than my mind can handle in that moment. Right, God hears all of those prayers. The problem is I forget half of the things that I'm praying for. Right, and you forget sometimes that you've requested prayer for things. God just kind of solves the problem. The thing is done. You were looking for this. God gave you this, and it's done. And we don't ever go back and remember that God has been answering our prayers. I want you to know that God is faithful in answering prayers. And so I want to give you a way to see God's faithfulness. And then maybe you'll begin to see that your prayers haven't been as purposeless as you thought they were. That what you've asked for, God hasn't truly ignored. In fact, God has been hearing and working the whole time through. We're just kind of forgetful, right? And so I'm going to give you some tools to help you with that. My prayer is that it will show you God's faithfulness through all these things. Because guys, we serve a faithful God. He knows you. He loves you. He calls you to himself. He calls you to abide in him. And if you'll do those things, if you'll abide in him, if you'll come and you'll abide and you'll bear the fruit that you're supposed to do, and you'll pray for God's will to be done in the midst of those things, God will answer your prayers. Now, sometimes God's answer is no. In fact, I got a text this week from a church member. They weren't here last week, but they watched it online, I guess, with their family. And he said, my daughter has been praying to be a princess. Okay. And my son is now telling her after your sermon, well, sometimes God's answer is no. guilty. Yeah, sometimes God's answer is no. And if you know any nice princes that are like, 3 years old, you can introduce her, Leah Price, to them when you get a chance, okay? Because she's looking for a prince somewhere along the way. But sometimes God's answer will be no. Sometimes the thing that you're asking God for is not going to be granted the way in which you wish it to be granted. That's likely because we don't understand God's perfect purposed will in our lives. But you'll be amazed the number of times God gives you exactly the thing that you've asked for. Like that he just steps in, and because like you've forgotten that you asked for it, because the situation resolved itself, we don't ever go back and give God glory for what he's done. Right? God is a God who is always acting in the good, the best interest of those branches that are bearing fruit for him. Guys, he is on your side as we're on his side. So what do we do, guys? We need to abide in Christ for powerful prayer. Do you want to have powerful prayer? I want you to abide in Jesus Christ. And so there's two things I really want you to do this week in the next 7 days. I want you to I don't know what your regular Bible reading schedule is. I don't know how you typically consume God's word, but I want you to intentionally consume God's word on a daily basis. I'm very far from legalistic on how you need to do this. I read through the Bible every year, which means I read somewhere between, you know, 3 and 5 chapters a day of the Bible. That gets you through the Bible in a year. You do not have to do that, but you do need to be in God's word every day. So this week, I want to encourage you, be in God's word every day. Take the time to be inside of God's word and ask God, Lord, speak to me today, Lord, as I read your word. And the second thing I want you to do is when you pray daily, by the way, that's a given in this passage, by the way, like that you're going to be asking God because it's natural for you to go to God to answer your prayers. I think a lot of us are much more lax in that than we should be. When you pray on a daily basis and you spend time with the Lord, I want you just to write down the things that you're praying for. Right? And it might be 4 or 5 things. It could be lost people that you're praying for. It could be things that you're wanting to see God do inside of your church family. It could be things that you're wanting God to do inside of your job or your family at home. Whatever it is, write them down and then just kind of keep that list throughout the week. And if I can add one thing to your list, just pray for me. Right? Just pray for me as the pastor of this church to be faithful in what God has called me to do. Right, because I would covet those prayers. I've shared before that there are people in this church who I know pray for me every single day, and I am so thankful for them. But I buried one this past year. And so I need some of y'all to step up to fill the spot that she had in my life. Like I knew if Jerry Offo, by the way, is the lady I buried, but like I knew Jerry was praying for me every single day. No matter what she was feeling that day, no matter how sick she was feeling, no matter how bad she was feeling, she was going to pray for me. All right, she's gone home to Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. Like, what a wonderful answer to prayer that was for me. Right, but I'm bereaved of that here. So I'll ask you guys, as my church, pray for me. That'd be the top of your list, okay? I don't know why it should be the top of your list. Just get it on the list somewhere, okay? Maybe pray for your own relationship with Christ, okay? But pray for me. I would covet those prayers, guys. Spend time with God this week. Read his word. Be faithful in prayer. And as you're abiding in God, watch God answer what God has put on your heart. Like you have effectual prayer at your fingertips. God desires to answer your prayers. So go to him. And like I said last week, pray with courage and confidence, knowing that God can answer your prayer. Some of you have lost loved ones. You have lost brothers and sisters. You have lost children and parents. Just lift them up before the Lord. Say, God, I've shared the good news of Jesus Christ with them. They haven't received it yet. Please bring them to salvation. I believe God is desiring to do a new work in some of your friends and family's lives through a faithful Christian back home praying for them. You may never go across the world to share Jesus Christ, but if you'll hold up our missionaries, you're holding the rope for them as they go to share the love of Jesus Christ. You may not go onto the college campuses across the state of Texas and lead Bible studies, but if you'll hold up those missionaries who we have on campus right now, right, you're a part of what's taking place there. Church, we have a bigger mission than our eyes can see. If you abide with Jesus Christ, you'll begin to get a picture of what that is. And I believe God wants to do powerful things through you because I don't think God lies in his word. If he says he'll answer your prayers, if he says that he's going to respond to your prayers as you abide in him and his words abide in you, I've never known him to lie. He's going to do what he says. So pray courageously, faithfully, while you abide in Jesus Christ. Let me pray.